All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mercules. I am the host of the Massive Breakdown podcast. This is episode 9. 2 full months we've been doing this podcast now. It's been a long time. So we have a fantastic episode for you today. We got a couple of things that we want to talk about. One thing that's very pertinent to the community right now that's been getting a lot of discussion now that private matches are in play. But as always, I'm here with the two co-hosts. We got Kit Kutcha and NK Cougar. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. A little under the weather, but I'm not going to let it stop me from recording.
Doing all right myself. A little tired, but looking forward to our discussions today.
Yeah, we're all struggling just a little bit since we are recording later than we normally do. And some people have children in the house and have to be quiet, and other people are a little bit sick. But we will soldier through and bring you guys a fantastic conversation.
Hell yeah.
All right, so today, the first thing we want to talk about, we're going to talk about scrim rules, basically. And the whole thing that's bringing this up is basically because private matches are coming out. The fact of the matter is the competitive scene is going to, it's going to practically explode. It's going to blow up. You're going to be able to organize tournaments. You're going to be able to organize, you know, pub meet and greets where you guys play Destiny there and stuff. There's just going to be a whole huge scene that comes about. And because of that, a lot of people are taking another look at the, what they're called sweaty rules or scrim rules or tournament rules that have been in play for quite some time. And the fact of the matter is that sweaty rules were put in place a long time ago in a different meta by a very small group of players because they were the only ones doing sweaties. And the reason that this is being brought up now is because the Farcog tournament, which is played with current sweaty rules and which was played with the current system of matchmaking, was very, very popular, like really popular. So much so that a lot of the Destiny developers sat up and took notice. And they noticed some of these sweaty rules that are in place. For those of you who don't know what they are, they ban max armor titans. They ban all exotic armor, which are the two really, really big ones. And they ban heavy ammo usage. And then depending on the tournament organizer and who wants to play it, there are other bans that can come in place. Some people ban year one weapons that you're not able to get anymore, like Matador 64s and things like that. Some people don't ban anything. And so you're seeing pros literally borrowing someone else's account who has a Matador with, you know, knee pads or something like that, so that they can play with a gun that's very, very good and that's impossible to get on someone who started in year two. So basically, we're just going to give a brief overview of scrim rules, how we feel about them, maybe how they should be changed, and then we're going to get into a sniper rifle breakdown. So we're not going to spend too much time on scrim rules, but we did feel like it was a good thing to talk about since it's very, very... Well, Crucible Playbook itself has had a rough week with scrim rules, basically. I've seen four, maybe five posts, and they finally made a mega thread about it, and they asked Deej and Mantis on their Crucible Radio podcast. So, I mean, it's something that's all in people's minds right now. Do you guys have any particular thoughts on it you want to lead off with?
If I can jump in on the bans, there is one more major ban that has been pretty much 100% enforced. That is the banning of class-specific weapons. Mostly that's because of Warlocks. The Talaloc, Talaloc, Talalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal incredibly ridiculously overpowered that not only did they decide to ban just that one, they decided, screw it, we're going to ban every single class exclusive weapon that you can get, thanks to the combination of mid-impact damage with low impact rate of fire.
Yeah, it drops the time to kill down to 0.83 seconds, I think, and you can still get a kill with two crits and two body shots. So not only is it insanely forgiving, but it's also has a very, very competitive time to kill, like among the most competitive in the game. So it's a pretty difficult combination to go up against when someone only needs to hit 50% of their crit shots on you, but they're killing you faster than you can even kill them with a
mine. Yeah, it's Crucible on easy mode.
Yeah. And that's why you see a lot of people in the Crucible running it, and that's why you hear that very distinctive tally lock or whatever sound it is when it's shooting, and you know that you've been killed by it, basically. And you can tell when they have their super up, too, so I can understand that. But that's a good point. You brought that up last week, too, when we were talking about the Scout Rifles, how it's been banned. So, yeah, those are the main things that are banned. And I believe Deej himself said in the Crucible Radio podcast that he and some of the other producers at Bungie are not happy with bans. They don't agree with them. And their logic behind it was that they feel like when you're taking things out of Destiny, you're not playing Destiny the way it was meant to be played. You're playing a watered-down version of Destiny.
To provide the counterpoint to that, the reason that these things are banned, such as the Exotic Armor, the Max Armor Titans, and the Tally Lock, I like that name for it. The reason these are banned is because they take really what is the most important factor in these tournaments, sweaties, scrims, whatever you want to call them, the most important factor, and that's player skill. The reason each of the Exotic Armor and Max Armor Titans has been banned is for uniformity and time to kill. With Max Armor on a Titan or, say, a Warlock with a Ram, you're looking at something like, say, the Thorn. Instead of killing in one head, two body with the damage over time, you're looking at taking actually an extra shot to net that kill. It drastically changes games when you can tank an entire extra shot. It changes it in a manner that the skill of a player becomes less important than the loadout that they've chosen. And that it's not what the competitive scene is about.
Yeah, so I posted something on Crucible Playbook the other day and on Destiny of the Game, just out of curiosity. I'm thinking about organizing a small tournament for some friends and some people in Jacksonville. Not really a competitive sweaty tournament because the skill level on average isn't going to be that high enough to call it that. But I don't really want to ban a lot of things. I want to keep it as ban-free as possible. And the only ban I was looking at was banning year one weapons. Basically, since private matches are coming out, it's going to be a light level enabled, you know, tournament. But the reason I thought that light level enabling something would be difficult is because you don't know how quickly some people are going to get to max light right after Rise of Iron comes out. And I want to do it to kind of coincide with the release to celebrate it. And I don't want some people to be 10 light levels above and stuff like that. So I said, you know what, screw it. We'll just do anything that can't be infused to max light isn't going to be allowed in the tournament. I think that's a general, you know, a fairly standard rule. It's easy enough. The only complaint I had about it was, oh, well, what about, you know, Her Benevolence? People can go grind Prison of Elders and get a Her Benevolence or reroll it. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to make an exception for just one gun. Just deal with your LDR, deal with your Longbow Synthesis, RNG, whatever. But something that happened was I asked, what would your loadout be? What class would you use? What subclass would you use? What weapons would you use? What exotic armor would you use if you were allowed to choose from anything? And it turned out that a lot of people said Max Armor Titans, and a fairly large amount of people said Ramlocks. And I was talking to a guy about it, and we figured that with Mida, you go from being able to 3-crit one body to you have to 4-crit, which isn't the biggest deal. But with things like Lord High Fixer, Eye as Luna, you go from 1-crit 2-body to 2-crit 1-body, which is a fairly substantial way to change the game for those guns, because part of their whole, you know, appeal is the fact that you can 1-crit 2-body. So it takes that away from it. I forget what it was. There's just a ton of different things that they actually could tank, that it really raised the time to kill up on several different very mainstream weapons. I think Hawksaw requires you to hit all headshots out of 3 bursts now, which basically is impossible to do. It completely changed the meta, and it made me think about a way that, you know, it would suck to have a Max Armor Titan on the other team and they literally beat you in every gunfight because it takes one more shot to kill them. You know? And I'm not a fan of banning stuff in tournaments. I think that, like Heavy, I know Heavy can lead to some really, really bad engagement practices. It can lead to a really campy style of play. It can lead to, you know, the momentum swinging entirely in one team's favor, especially in a game type like Skirmish or Salvage where it's not a round-based thing. But the fact of the matter is a lot of the Heavy bans came about when Heavy was in a different place than it kind of was right now, and they were revisited a little bit when they did the recent nerfs to Heavy to where it only drops once a game. You know, the inventory have been nerfed across the board. Machine guns can't pick up as much ammo. Rockets can't pick up as many rockets. But it did really make me think that maybe some bans are good, but a smallish number of them, if we can minimize that number. Maybe banning Max Armor Titans, maybe banning Ramlocks, but allowing other exotic pieces. I don't know.
To jump in,
that's just my opinion then.
With you mentioning subclasses, I did remember yet another sweat-wide ban You're usually, this one is sometimes exempted, but most of the time I see a rule that you may not have duplicate subclasses. No two players on the same team can have the same subclass, because it leads to what I've been dealing with all weekend in Trials. Dealing with six fusion grenades from Self-Res Sunsingers isn't fun. It's ridiculously, incredibly annoying to have to dodge fusion grenades every time I see somebody. Three Juggernaut Titans. That would suck. I play a Juggernaut Titan. I know how people feel about it. Three Storm Trances sitting in the back of the map. This is all stuff that I've seen just this last weekend of Trials, the last weekend before Rise of Iron. I've run into all of these examples that I'm listing out. And I can pretty confidently say that it would make sweats miserable if they were allowed.
And I guess a counterpoint to that is, in a game that's not round based, where one round can swing things all the way one way or the other, would it be as bad? Because at worst, right? I mean, okay, at worst, it could be bad. They could get a team wipe, right? And then they could set up map control in their supers. But you've got to think that three, you know, Sunsinger Warlocks with fusion grenades, at best, they get three kills on you, right? And it's not round-based, so you aren't losing the entire game on it. You know, you'd think that maybe it wouldn't be as big of a momentum swing in a game like Skirmish or a game like Salvage, depending on what the new Salvage rule set is when they come out with it. Because everybody knows, you know, right now it's not a competitive game time. But, you know, three Storm Trance Warlocks, well, all three of them pop their supers at the same time, and then they don't have supers for another, you know, 3 minutes or however long it takes them to charge it up. But, I mean, would that be such a bad thing in a non-round-based sweaty format?
For at least a few of those, yes. To go back to the Sunsingers, with Starfire Protocol, you've got six fusion grenades just right off the bat. There's not a whole lot you can do, even with splitting a team up in a non-round-based game mode, where you're not going to have at least one of your players picked off on a push because of the sheer volume of grenades flying through the air. You know, if you're trying to get a one-on-two or two-on-one, you're still leaving one of your players to deal with a minimum of two grenades flying at them. And it's still something that can very easily swing the flow of a game. Momentum is very, very real. In a sweat-style match with, say, those Storm Trances, I'd say the chances of seeing more than one super on the board at a time is infinitesimal. These guys are going to try to chain their supers the entire time. Three Juggernaut Titans, I'd say that's the least threatening thing out of all of those. They're Juggernaut Titans. You shoot them with a sniper rifle, the shield's gone. They've still pushed up on you. You're still in a rough spot. But you're not dealing with raining grenades. You're not dealing with chained electrostatic mind. Supers coming after you. It's, I see the reason that multiple subclasses have been banned, and to be honest, I see them continuing that trend.
If I could say something, I've kind of stayed out of this because I'm pretty far from being a competitive PvP player, in my own estimation. And, you know, I respect the fact that these rules were agreed upon by a community of players who spend a lot of time playing PvP and who have, you know, pretty strong reasons for feeling the way that they do about these rule sets. You know, at the same time, I also kind of hear some of the objections that I've heard, I sympathize with them. You know, one thing that Derek Carroll said on that Crucible Radio podcast, I was listening to that earlier today, is that if there is something in the sandbox that is so unbalanced and so game-breaking that no other strategy is viable against it, or that it ruins fun in Destiny, then that's something that, you know, that they want to look at. If it's so good that it dominates other play styles to the point where nobody does anything else, then they want to see that happen so that they can fix it. Now, you know, at the same time, I can see where people don't want to have to suffer through, you know, the era of the triple storm caller in order to say, well, you know, we kind of knew this was broken. We went through it anyway just to prove to you that it's broken. That kind of sucks. You know, so there's points and counterpoints on both sides where it's all going to shake out. You know, I don't know. I hope we see a lot of variety, though. I hope we see new game types being brought into the competitive scene beyond just straight up 3v3 Slayer with revives. You know, I hope we see some supremacy in the competitive scene. I hope we see some 6v6 competitive games, some objective games. I think that with matchmaking now being much easier, team-based modes like Rift, where team play is extremely important in your success, have the potential to become competitive modes. A Rift tournament would be a hell of a lot of fun, and if you didn't have a good team, it would show. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm interested in. That's my standpoint. And I think some of those game modes, if you have too many bans in place universally, you run the risk of making it less fun. A universal ban on all exotic armor, you know, to me that kind of sounds like taking it too far. That's my gut reaction. There are exotic armors that can make other people's lives less fun. I was picturing nothing manacles. I've made a lot of people's lives less fun with nothing manacles the last few months. But yeah, it's not a short list by any means.
But then you run the issue of some classes are, and I think, Cougar, you want to talk about this, so I'll leave it off to you after our intro, but some classes are noticeably worse off without their exotics. For example, Hunters and Bones of Yao in the current time where the meta has shifted away from Blink and towards, you know, better control in Bones of Yao. And Hunters are drastically handicapped in their mobility without being able to use that exotic. That exotic doesn't hurt anyone else. But Hunters rely on that a lot to be able to get around and to try to compete, considering especially the fact that they're not even the most mobile class. Now that Titan Scanning is so prevalent, so, you know, widely used, Hunters are not the most mobile class. And Bones of Yao helps them a lot. And it's lumped in with the rest of the exotics that are banned. And where are Hunters left for them?
Yeah. I do understand the Bones of EIEIO example for a real handicap to make a subclass go from usable to bottom tier. Look at Defender Titans. Really, the only competitive build for a Defender Titan is a no backup plan build. Don't come at me with Weapons of Light and high impact snipers. It's a gimmick. Go away. But without Bones, you look at... it's definitely not top tier. It's maybe mid tier, say B, C tier. Without no backup plans, though, you're really looking at the worst, period, competitive PvP class in the game. As far as balance goes, there's a massive disparity between subclass balancing with some work put into that, I think the exotic armor issue becomes less of a focal point. But as it stands right now, subclasses are so obviously superior in their gameplay that adding exotic armor to the mix instead of leveling the playing field catapults them to the top. My example with Claws of Ahamkara, that's directly related to the top Warlock subclass of Stormcaller. that melee with Amplify allows you to reach outside of shotgun one-hit kill range and connect with a melee. So I can take my Party Crusher. I have a perfect Party Crusher, aggressive ballistics, rifled barrel, rangefinder. I can shoot my Party Crusher from twice over one-hit kill range. I need to do a total of about, say, 88 damage to be sure. And then I can let my melee do 122 damage and wipe someone out before they're anywhere near being able to compete. With Claws of Amkara, I can do that twice. I can almost single-handedly wipe a team without them getting anywhere near enough to defend themselves. Then, if you want to look at another one, let's say Graviton Forfeit for Night Stalkers. This one's a little out there, bear with me. It would have been much more relevant if Shade Step still had two consecutive uses rather than the one it has now. I think that has reduced the effectiveness of the Graviton. But you can't underestimate the ability to have Keen Scout and Shade Step rather than one or the other. You now have the ability to evade well and to track somebody through a wall. Tracking somebody through a wall, it's insane. It is heaven for calling out for your teammates to go pick a guy off. Now, on top of being able to do that, you can roll across a sniper lane. You can dodge a shotgun. And then you swing over to the Titan class, Twilight Garrison. Titans are already the most mobile class in the game. Twilight Garrison is nuts for mobility. You can literally skate so quickly with a Garrison that you can kill yourself by impacting into various objects like walls. I've done it. I have repeatedly Twilight Garrison skated into a wall until I've died, just to see if it was possible. It is. That was a hell of a tangent, but the exotics as they stand right now are highly, highly detrimental to balance. And I didn't even mention the RAM. I don't need to mention the RAM.
Oh, I love it's RAM lock. It just makes me so happy to not die when I should die.
Yep. Well, so I guess the way I look at it is, are these issues something that can be fixed by possibly moving away from the three-person teams, or are they issues that will be compounded by moving to larger teams? Like you're saying right now, you've got three Stormcallers on a team. Well, what if team sizes for competitive MLG game types are six-man teams? What if they're playing six-man Slayer game types? Are you saying that they're going to run six Stormcallers now? Or they're going to run six Sunsingers with fusion grenades? Because you got to think that's 12 fusion grenades, but they're massively handicapped now in all other styles of play.
Sunsingers, you know? While the fusion grenade thing would be brutal, I think a six-man Sunsinger team would probably stick with Firebolts, because I think two Firebolts could still kill you. But Stormtrance? Holy Christ, Stormtrance. Electrostatic Mind with five people near you within your electrostatic boundary. With tier 5 intellect, I think you're looking at, I don't know if this is the exact number, I've got two numbers in my head, it's either 2 minutes 18 seconds or 1 minute 58 seconds per super. 1 minute and 58 seconds into the game, without a kill, you have a 6-man Stormtrance. Now, they're not going to use all six at once. They're going to split them. They may do one at a time. They may do two at a time. But I don't think they're ever going to stop doing them. If they get on a roll, that's it. That's game. You can't stop it. There are six storm trances with two active at any given time, the rest picking up orbs. I think for some things, you're looking at compounding the issue. The opposite end of that is that it is very, very, very difficult to communicate on a six-man team. Trying to deal with six people, telling everybody else what's going on at the same time, I don't know if you can call it competitive. There's too much going on.
So you think three man is going to be the way it sticks, maybe moving on to a fourth?
I think up to four is the ideal size.
There seemed to be a lot of interest in the community in 4v4 PvP. I see that talked about by YouTubers and streamers and other competitive players. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see some 4v4 tournaments, and you know, we'll have to watch and see how things evolve from there. I wonder if we've maybe talked this subject out for the moment. Do you guys want to, I guess, sum up any final thoughts on scrim rules, sweaty rules?
Yeah, in review, you're looking at a set of main rules that usually don't change. You're looking at no multiple subclasses. You may not have duplicate subclasses on the same team. You're looking at no pulling heavy. The heavy ammo is a non-factor in games. You're looking at no exotic armor. You're looking at no max armor titans. And you may not use class-specific weapons. If you want to set up your own homegrown sweaties, those are currently the main rules to stick with. In the future, some of them may change. For now, I recommend practicing with all of them. Not all of them are going to go away. I don't think that a competitive playstyle can be maintained by allowing anything, say anything goes. I don't see the future of competitive Destiny going in that direction at all. I think there will still be bans.
Well, yeah, I don't think competitive Destiny will ever be like that. You got to look at the MLG playlist for Halo and Halo 3 and stuff. It was never, at competitive levels, it's never an anything goes. It never is. But I do think a focus on minimizing the amount of bans should be something that's taken into account. I think right now they ban a lot of stuff. They blanket ban a lot of stuff. And I think that there are things that could be looked at, because I'm with Bungie on saying that when you take away too much stuff from the Destiny sandbox, you're taking away a little bit of what makes Destiny Destiny. But you got to look at the fact of the matter that people want to say, well, if everything's overpowered, then nothing's overpowered. And that'd be nice if everything was overpowered to one level and they were all there, but they're not. Right now, you've got, like you say, Stormcaller Warlocks, significantly more overpowered than something else. You've got certain things that poke out above. And the problem with competitive play is people want those advantages, and they'll take them. You know, in a friendly tournament, you're not going to have to worry about six Stormcallers rolling, you know, deep. You're not going to have to worry about a team setting themselves up to absolutely obliterate. But in a competitive mode, a really, truly competitive tournament where there's money on the line, if you give people the free will to run whatever they want, they're going to take what gives them the biggest advantage. They're going to run a Max Armor Titan. They're going to run a Ram, you know, Voidwalker. And it is something that needs to be looked at. And I like what Crucible Playbook did, where they said, if you want to suggest a new set of scrim rules, you need to give us three gameplay examples of those scrim rules before you can even make a suggestion. Because a lot of the things that people suggest and that are popular, like you say, may not live up to actual competitive gameplay.
Much agreed. And that's the thing. That's the thing about competitive gameplay. It's called competitive for a reason. That reason is you are trying to beat the ever-loving shit out of the person across from you. I don't care about your feelings. You can get your fifis hurt. That's fine. I win. I'm going to take whatever gives me the advantage in the game to give me the win. That's why it's competitive. Friendlies, you know, there's rules. There are unwritten rules for friendlies. Just like a lot of groups that I run with. Kit, I think this, I've actually run this with you. Black Shield for practice sweaties. We stay out of the middle. We don't camp the middle. Nobody stays in there for a long period of time. It's incredibly difficult to get in there and push it.
Yep.
We play competitive. I'm going to set my ass up in the middle, and I'm not going to let you in.
Yeah, it's an interesting way, and the problem stems from, if Bungie balances based off competitive game types, are they going to hurt the casual community, would you much rather, like Derek was saying, if there's something so broken in the sandbox, they need to take a look at it. Well, you know, if you don't want scrims to have any rules at all, you want them to allow everything in Destiny, that means that the Destiny sandbox would have to take a major reworking. And it might be good overall for PvP, or it might be bad. You don't know. You have to see how Bungie reacts to it. But scrim rules right now are in place because they serve a purpose. You know, they're playing the game that Bungie's given them. And right now, some things, whether Bungie wants to admit it or not, are out of line with the way the Crucible functions. So if it were up to me, I guess my final opinion, I need to think this. I think the scrim rules need to be looked at. I think bans need to be minimized. But that's because it's a question authority type thing. Just because rules are in place for a reason doesn't mean they should ever not be questioned. But, you know, they always need to be looked at. Destiny is evolving. Every time a balance patch hits, it's evolving. Every time a new meta breaks out, it's evolving. The rules always need to be questioned, but you have to understand when an explanation is given to you, like you've done tonight, that there's reasons those rules exist. It wasn't like someone just pulled them out of their ass. You know?
Very much agreed. If I think that there are really any bans that should continue to be enforced, I think the two most important would be no duplicate subclasses, no class-specific weapons. Outside of that, I think it's entirely possible to rework the scene into being friendly towards exotic armor. Friendly towards max armor titans, even. Heavy Ziffy. I think the waving system should be in place for Heavy. If both teams wave, Heavy should be gone.
Make it player choice, yeah, basically.
Heavy could be player choice.
Yeah, I think max armor would be interesting. I know we're going too long here and we need to back away from it, but just max armor would be interesting because it would be funny to see what weapons people use to try to counter that. You know, are you going to put yourself in too big of a handicap changing up weapons? Maybe you go from, I don't know, I think someone suggested using, like, imprecation or something like that. Is that how that's pronounced? I know I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I'm pretty sure imprecation is correct.
Someone suggested using a super high impact, one of the super high impact hand cannons to deal with max armor ram locks. Since I guess at that point in time you need two headshots and a body shot anyways, or I think, is it a body shot? Is it a headshot and two body shots that can still kill a max armor titan from the first curse and stuff like that, like those high impact hand cannons?
Headshot is 95 damage. Medium impact, I believe, does 58 damage per body shot. So high impact, I think, does 61, 62. So 64.
So 64, 128, and then 95. So yeah. So, and they were suggesting that not because the time to kill would be faster, but because it would just be easier to hit that than it would be to maybe go, you know, two tap to the head and a body shot with Aya's Luna. But, you know, it's just, I think it'd be interesting to see the way the meta would shift a little bit when it comes to dealing with that. Would players get better with Aya's Luna and just go for two headshots every single time? They'd have to. It'd become the new thing, but that takes away a huge advantage from Aya's Luna that it has, you know? So just theoretical, just theory crafting out here. None of that stuff actually makes sense because in the current state, it's not the way it goes. But I'm interested to see the game battle rules for the PlayStation tournament that's coming up.
Yeah, hopefully I can get a team together to enter that one.
Hopefully they start bringing stuff to Xbox One. You guys get all the exclusives.
Well, so that takes us to about the 36-minute mark by my count. I've been counting in my head this entire time.
Keeping track of seconds.
So, do we want to talk a little bit about snipers? We're likely to see a lot of changes here. We've got update 2.4 coming out as of September 8th, I think, is what I heard. That doesn't seem right on a Thursday, but
I think it's coming out with the balance patch is coming out with Rise of Iron.
Well, I don't know. They did a week before.
Is that what Cosmo said? Huh, you may be right. I don't know. I honestly don't know the dates on that. I haven't kept up to date on it. But we do know that Cosmo said that there will be a balance patch, which we're all looking forward to, I'm sure, seeing what Bungie does to change things up.
Actually, here, I do have confirmation. Update 2.4 is this Thursday.
Oh.
What, like this Thursday?
The 8th. We'll have server maintenance and downtime from 8 a.m. through 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. We're going to have our work cut out for us real soon. I'll be on that spreadsheet all of Friday, basically, trying to update everything.
The week after that is the launch of Rise of Iron, so I don't want to try to do anything major that week because everyone's going to be focused on launch. So I either want to talk about update notes for that week, or I want to just do like a fan Q&A. I feel like we're not going to be able to... Anything else we try to talk about is just going to get overshadowed with launch day stuff.
All right, well, we can talk about balance patch then. But was it going to be like just our personal opinions on what we think needs to be addressed balance-wise? Or are we going to be talking about everything in the sandbox, subclasses, weapons?
I'd say anything that comes to mind that we think should be looked at. Anything we would predict that Bungie will change, anything we wish they would change but know they won't.
Well, I have a bunch of things I wish they'd change, but I don't know for shit what they're going to change. They seem to constantly surprise me with their ability to mess with things that I never would have thought needed to be messed with, like Hunter Gunslingers, for instance. But if we're talking about stuff that we'd like them to change, I'd like to see a change to high-impact auto rifles and high-impact pulse rifles and high-impact weapons in general. And it doesn't need to be a damage boost. It doesn't need to be anything like that, though I would like to see a damage boost on high-impact autos and pulses. But I want to see them do more flinch. I want all high-impact weapons to do more flinch than they do right now. If they need to double the amount of flinch, then by God, double the amount of flinch. Because the issue right now that we have is that there aren't a lot of really great counter-sniper primaries in the game, and it's leading to a very, very distinctive hard scoping meta. Everybody knows the feeling of running into Waterfall Hallway on Pantheon and seeing three sniper glares down on the other side. And it's because the weapons that you're using to challenge snipers, the weapons that actually make them flinch, are all low impact, high rate of fire. They're Hawksaws, mm-hmm. they're Grasp Malics, they're Doctrine of Passing, Arminius, those weapons, because flinch right now is based upon how many bullets hit you quickly and how much you can continuously keep them flinching, as it is supposed to be based on the impact, which is what they told us initially. You know, so if I hit someone with my an answering cord, I guess, is a high impact auto rifle. If I go to hit someone with an answering cord, they're not going to flinch as much from a shot as they will in the same amount of time that a Doctrine of Passing is hitting them. So Doctrine of Passing is going to hit them in, what, two or three bullets in that period of time, and they're going to flinch way more than they would from one shot from an answering cord, even though an answering cord has way higher impact and is supposed to make them flinch way more. The same thing with high-impact scouts. My Cocytus is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but the fact of the matter is I'm not getting that much flinch on snipers or on other primary users. I'm getting flinched more from a Mida hitting me than I'm flinching the Mida user when I'm using my Cocytus, because they're just hitting me more. It's Hawksaw, Grass Malik, all these guns, I'm not saying they should do less flinch, because I don't believe that. I just think that high-impact weapons need to do more flinch than what they're currently doing. That's just one thing that I think would address, because I know a lot of people say snipers need to take more flinch, snipers need to take more flinch. No, snipers don't need to take more flinch. High impact weapons need to do more flinch. If you start working on the primaries, the secondary focused meta will tone down a little bit. And I used this example before, but Universal Remote is popular now, not because it's been buffed a lot, but because primaries have been nerfed so many times. And the same thing is happening with snipers right now. Snipers aren't any better than they've ever been. In fact, they're worse than they've ever been. But they're incredibly popular because primaries are even worse than that.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just an opinion that I have.
I would agree with that. I've talked about this with some people on Reddit, and I think the agreement, if not universal, is, you know, people at least recognize that the issue is not at this point, at least the people who snipe or who have some sympathy for snipers and the skill and the time that it takes to get good at that. The issue at this point is not that sniper rifles don't take enough flinch. There are two ways that you could look at this issue. You could look at this as an issue either with the way that flinch works in the game. And it is possible right now for a sniper to get shot while they're not zoomed in and then to quick scope in and land a headshot in between shots. The flinch is not going to hit them the way that it does if they're ADS'd and they get flinched. You know, a hard scoper is going to get punished hardcore by flinch. I know it because I've done it. But if somebody is good at quick scoping, they have a high aim assist sniper rifle, they know how flinch affects their reticle, which is a skill that you can train. You, not me, but you can train that skill. I can't do it to save my life. If you've got those skills, you've put in the time, you can land headshots while being shot a reasonable amount of the time. To many people's frustration, you know, and it's understandable. It's annoying when you're shooting someone in the face and they snipe you anyway. But you also have to respect that it's not like the game is broken. That person has spent a lot of time practicing. They are very good at landing shots with a sniper rifle. You know, sniper rifles are a part of the meta. They're not going to leave that meta. And unless Bungie makes them unusable, they're not going to go anywhere. But I think you make a really good point, Mercules, that we need a better balance across the archetypes. The way that the game works right now, the low impact weapons are dominant in 3 out of 4 primary archetypes, hand cannons being the only exception. And the main reason they're the exception there is that the accuracy on hand cannons in general is so poor that you need to be in the mid impact archetype to get a kill with any reliability. So, you know, that being said, I think if we look at raising the flinch rather than just the damage on some of the higher impact weapons, we might start seeing more of a reason to use them. If it becomes impossible to snipe against a high impact pulse rifle, suddenly I have a reason to take that Ludmilla out of my vault. If it becomes impossible to snipe against a high impact auto rifle, then suddenly Suros has a reason to see play. There are a lot of weapons out there that are great, that, you know, are easy to use or are fun to use, but why would you use them? You don't have, you know, there's no reason. They don't do enough damage. They don't do enough flinch. They don't contribute anything to the game. They're just there.
Yep. It's a shame that there's so many that are like that right now. And it's funny because they're weapons that had their time in the sun, kind of, and Bungie has like phased them out, and now it's other weapons' time. But high impact autos were dominant for a period of time in the very, very early vanilla meta. That was what everyone used. The Shadow Price, the Grim Citizen, the Suros especially.
Getting 4 shot was brutal.
And I think I remember there was a period of time where the Suros, the last bullet in the Suros mag would do like 51 damage for a headshot. With focus fire and glass half full procking. And it was absurd, absurd, absurd. But, you know, now they're done, and it's like, okay, they've been bad for long enough. Bring them back, at least make them semi-usable. They don't have to be competitive at the highest level, but at least let them be usable in general. Yeah. And another thing, you touched on it too, the reason why hand cannons are having so many issues is because of the stupid freaking accuracy bloom that they have kept for so long in the game, and I have no idea why. It's something they insist on adding, and you think they would have learned the lesson with Halo Reach. Nobody likes randomized bullets. Nobody likes it. They hated the bloom on the DMR in Halo Reach because the pros figured you could just spam the freaking trigger and to hell with accuracy and to hell with pacing your shots, because you were more likely to get a bunch of shots off faster that would hit the target than you were pacing your shots. Nobody wants to pull the trigger and have bullets just disappear even when you're aiming at the target. Nobody likes that. You know, and I'm not a huge fan of damage falloff, but damage falloff is a way better tool to show people what ranges they need to be engaging in than making bullets shoot way off to the left or way off to the right or some other direction just because you don't want someone to be shooting at a different distance, yeah. You know? And if it were up to me, I would completely remove that entire accuracy bloom effect that they put on the hand cannons in general. Hand cannons were one of the best anti-sniper tools for a long, long time. because of how much flinch they can do per bullet and how they could reach out and touch you, you know? And I didn't actually have an issue with hand cannons having the kind of crazy, insane range that they did, because there were a lot of drawbacks to hand cannons that prevented them from really being in the competitive meta when pulse rifles were good, when auto rifles were good. People didn't use hand cannons because hand cannons were difficult to use. And now people are being forced to use them because everything is so garbage. Well, at least hand cannons, you can go aerial. At least hand cannons, you can dodge in and out of cover. But they're still neutered. They're a shadow of what they once were. And I hate it because the faster meta, not Call of Duty fast, because it will never be Call of Duty fast, thank God. But it's not Halo slow either. You know, we had a quick meta going around where you could get 2 burst kills with high impact pulse rifles. It wasn't easy. You had to hit almost all headshots. It was difficult, but you could do it. You know, you could kill low armor guardians in 0.8 seconds with high impact auto rifles. You know, if you weren't running max armor, if you were below, I think it was like 190, I don't know, 195 or something like that, you could get killed in 0.8 seconds by a high impact auto rifle. You know, these hand cannons could reach out and touch you from quite a distance, and they could kill you in 0.87 seconds. And people weren't able to snipe, and they weren't able to universal remote shotgun all over the place because you could get killed with primary weapons quickly. Now, it takes so damn long to kill with a primary weapon that why bother? Why not just use a universal remote? Why not just use a sniper all the time? It's more efficient. You get more kills more quickly, you know? And I think that a lot of it is because of the damage fall off that they've pushed aggressively onto weapons, the accuracy issues that they pushed aggressively onto hand cannons, and just the fact that they seem to not necessarily understand that people want to take the easy path and primaries aren't the easy path. You know, you make primaries too hard to use, yep. No one uses them. And that's what's happening.
With my Iron Banner bounties recently, I was like, okay, you know, I need this many primary kills to finish this bounty off. And then I went into a match and, you know, I was not playing so much to just get the bounties done. I was playing with some friends and, you know, I wanted to make sure we won because people are still trying to grind up their rep. And then I went back at the end of the match and I realized that I had not gotten a single primary kill. All of my kills were ability kills and shotgun kills and a couple of heavy kills, but primarily, you know, grenades, melees, supers, and shotgun. I mean, I'm sure I got some assists with my primary, but that kind of thing is not uncommon, and that's kind of disappointing. Like, the primary weapon is not your primary source of kills, and that's a weird concept.
I mean, we can look at, so I'm on Destiny Tracker right now, fantastic website, but I'm looking at the top 3 players right now, their weapon usage. We got DeFizzle. DeFizzy is up here. Shotgun, 24% of his kills are shotgun. Next closest is hand cannon at 18%. Smokes, 32% of his kills are snipers. Next closest is hand cannon at 31%. Let's see what Disclosure's at. Disclosure actually has 26% of his kills are hand cannon, but sniper is 25%. All right, do we want to look at every shot? I mean, this is just going down the top 10. Every shot has a sniper at 22% of his kills, hand cannon at 27% of his kills, and a shotgun at 11% of his kills. So 33% of his kills are special weapons. You know, and it's getting to the point where the primary weapon is supposed to be the go-to weapon. It's supposed to be what you use. It is your primary. The special is useful in certain circumstances. The heavy is useful when it comes up, but the primary weapon is what you're supposed to be focusing on. And it's not even close to that now. If a third or more of your total kills are coming from special weapons, it's like, okay, you know, that might need to be looked at just a little bit. A third isn't crazy, but, you know, you've got people when you combine all the special weapons who are sitting at 50% of their kills are from special weapons, either shotguns or snipers, the two combined, sometimes fusion rifles, depending on how badly they abuse them in the early game. But you've got 1 out of every 2 kills is from a special weapon. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You know, they're special for a reason. They're not primaries, but they're just so much more powerful now. And it's not even that they've been buffed. They're not. Shotguns are worse than they've ever been. Snipers are worse than they've ever been. You know? Like, fusions are not the worst than they've ever been, thank God, because they were terrible a while ago. but they're better now. And sidearms, sidearms are just sidearms. They do what they want. But specials on a whole are in the biggest slump they've ever been in, but yet they're getting even more use than ever before. You know, doesn't Bungie see, don't they understand that there's something going on? And the solution is not nerf snipers. The solution is not nerf shotguns. The solution is, let's raise that primary weapon bar back up. It's so, so low right now. Let's pick it up a notch.
I agree. Personally, I'd like to see something done with high-impact hand cannons to make them somewhat more viable choice. Their only advantage is being able to two-shot the lowest armor guardians. I'd like to see that maybe bump up so that you can possibly two-shot slightly higher armor levels. I'd like to see some legendary high-impact hand cannons. Classic, not just the Haka hand cannons. Let's see the Ill Will come back. Let's see legendary hand cannons that have luck in the chamber, final round, reactive reload. Let's see something that can give them a chance to be useful. Because right now, they're trash. I won't take a high-impact hand cannon into anything except a friendly. I won't even take it into pub stomping because they're so bad for anything but... You know, maybe if I face some max agility blade dancers, maybe then I'll run it. But with warlocks, with titans, you're not going to get two-shot kills. They're the closest analogy I can draw is like a ghost town. Nobody's there. You know, 50,000 people used to live here. Kind of stuff going on. I've actually been farming PoE 28, hoping to get an Ill Will. For that exact reason, to have a legendary hand cannon that gives me incentive to use it. I don't know, I love the high impact hand cannons. I really want to see them come back. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, high impact hand cannons they could do a little bit more damage. I think they do 190 with two headshots, so you're not really killing that many people who are running armor below 190. That's a pretty rare thing to see. It's mostly low level hunters, I think, are the only people who fall prey to that. You know, bump it up to doing 194 for two headshots, maybe. That's not too bad right there. It doesn't make them game breaking. They're still not going to kill full armor guardians. But I've always liked the idea of high impact being the high risk, high reward. I liked it for high impact ARs where they can kill low armor guardians. I like it for high impact hand cannons. I like the fact that high impact scouts are, you know, and high impact pulses are, you hit all your headshots, you get a really fast time to kill, you hit a couple buy shots, you might have screwed yourself. I like the high risk, high reward factor for high impact guns, but like you said, there's no reward right now for two out of the four. Well, for three out of the four. High impact pulses suck right now too. You know, it's impossible to get their optimal time to kill, or very, very difficult. High impact hand cannons, you never run into people running 190, and high impact ARs, they can't even kill low armor guardians anymore. So, you know, where's the reward for using those guns? There's a lot of risk, but you're not, you know, you're gambling your money, but you're just throwing it in the trash can when you play with those weapons. It's very unfortunate. I think high impact as a general thing is something Bungie needs to look at.
On the high impact note, I want to change subjects a little bit and talk about the balanced dichotomy in high impact special weapons, since those are the weapons that kind of matter right now. And that's an area that I also feel needs to be looked at, because I don't think that in the area of sniper rifles and shotguns, we have been given enough reason to choose weapons that are not high impact. I think that the, you know, in the shotgun area, and this comes from somebody who runs shotguns almost exclusively, if I'm trying to have any success in the Crucible, the balance of range versus rate of fire and impact needs to be looked at, because the high impact weapons hit so hard at such a high range. I mean, in PvP, there's just never a reason to go with another shotgun if you want to be, you know, maximally effective. If your aim is terrible, or if you just, you don't want to work too hard, invective, you know, has pretty good range, pretty good damage. But yeah, I mean, that's an exotic. Among legendaries, there's no shotgun that is worth really taking into PvP, because it's not going to be as good. You're going to shoot people and they're going to survive, and you're going to die as a result. Similar reasoning, I guess, comes to mind for sniper rifles. If you look at what sniper rifles people are going to choose, you know, Bungie opened up the field of sniper rifles that are available to use. Maybe we'll talk about this in an upcoming podcast. We were planning on talking about this tonight, but tangent. We've got all of these revive snipe capable sniper rifles, but 90% of what gets used, and you can verify this yourself if you want to go out to Destiny Tracker, if you want to go out to Guardian.gg, take a look at these sites at what's being used by people. It's high impact. It's 1,000-yard stare and longbow synthesis. And you can't, at this point in time, at this point in year two, at the very end of year two, you can't say that it's all about availability. You know, in the first 3-4 months, you could say, well, everybody got a decent 1,000-yard stare, so that's the sniper that they would default to using. That made sense then. It's been a long time since that argument made sense. At this point, it's just because, basically, they're a better choice. Stat-wise, they've got more stability than sniper rifles in the lower impact classes. In a lot of cases, they have, you know, comparable or better aim assist. You know, they've got similar range. Sniper rifle range is largely irrelevant unless you somehow manage to dip under 60 or so. But basically, they've got comparable or better stats, and they do more damage, and they don't have less ammo. Not in a way that really matters. So why would you ever choose something else? What would the reason be? I don't have an answer to that question.
I think the easiest way to do that is to work on the inventory stats. Because right now, I was looking at this the other day because I was curious. Low impact sniper rifles and shotguns don't really get more ammo than high impact ones, and in some occasions they actually get less, which didn't really make sense to me at all. So, you know, an easy way to do it is make high impact shotguns, make high impact sniper rifles, make them have a lower inventory stat. You know, make it to where you only will get 4 shots per ammo box that you pick up, you know. Make it to where if you're using the glass promontory or whatever, you get 6 shots to where you pick up. You really want to be sniping? Well, maybe switch to a different sniper rifle that's going to get you a lot more bullets, like a noticeable amount more bullets. Same thing with shotguns. You make it to where Conspiracy Theory D is picking up 3 or 4 rounds and that's it every single box, but maybe you go with the Burden of Proof and you get 6 or 7, you might be able to shift people away, because the fact of the matter is there's always going to be a shotgun that's going to kill the long range. And it's always going to be the shotgun that has the slowest rate of fire, because that's the way it has to be. Because then you run into an issue like the Party Crasher, where the Party Crasher is obviously better than the Conspiracy Theory D with the correct rolls for both of them. Because the Party Crasher can kill the exact same range, but it has a faster rate of fire. So anytime you have a gun with a faster rate of fire that kills at a longer range for shotguns, that's going to be the favorite gun. So one of those guns always has to kill from a longer range. It has to be the slower rate of fire ones. And they've already, you know, taken them down quite a few notches from where they once were. Like, probably a lot of people who've come to Destiny lately don't realize the horror that, like, the year one fell winters with shot package thing. Like, it was terrible. You know, I always use, but like, you know, on Twilight Gap, where there's low heavy, and it's that hallway that's just like a little tiny U-shaped hallway. And you could come out one end and somebody could be at the other end and they could kill you with a shotgun from an absurd, absurd distance away while you guys stood on either side of heavy. It was terrible. And they can't do that anymore. They've already been nerfed. Shotguns are, like I said before, the worst they've ever been. Snipers are similarly the worst they've ever been. Another issue I think that they could do is high impact snipers could stand to lose a lot of aim assist. they have really, really high levels of aim assist right
they
now.
They do. The longbow has the second, third highest aim assist.
Yeah, like 75 aim assist or something is what it maxes out with. That's not even including hit in hand, is it?
That's base.
Or anything like that. That's just with the sights. Yeah, that's horrendous. Like, you can't do aim assist with shotguns, because shotguns, it's not going to happen like that. The aim assist doesn't matter for them. But with snipers, it's a big thing. And I notice this a lot, too. Like, I'm using a 1,000-yard stare with hit in hand and a view tactical. And I see bullets hitting people's heads that shouldn't really be hitting people's heads, that I know I wasn't aimed where I needed to be aimed. They're forgiving. They're incredibly forgiving. And snipers don't need to be knocked out of scope when they get shot. That is the biggest bunch of crock I've heard. And people should stop suggesting that. They don't need to be knocked out of scope. They don't need their flinch to be increased. Just remove some of the aim assist. Play with the inventory numbers a little bit. You want to change things up? Glass Promontory, super high aim assist, really high inventory stat. It's easier to use. You get more bullets. You can't super snipe, though. You know? So you might convince some people
one,
to move
one,
over.
You know, comparison that we could make for high impact snipers, for how a good high impact sniper could be balanced. Not that the Black Spindle is, you know, necessarily balanced in PvE, but it's only got 3 rounds. And as much as some snipers might hate me for saying this, looking at taking the, you know, the magazine size for high impact snipers down to 3 is, you know, that's an area that they could be made slightly more balanced. And, you know, there's a trade-off there for having not only the best headshot damage, but also the best body shot damage. And that's the other thing that I think, you know, maybe is something worth talking about, at least, is the damage scaling. Because if you hit somebody with a body shot with a high impact sniper, you can whip out any gun in the game that I can think of and one-shot that person. So if you, you know, miss your headshot, err on the side of safety, you know, pick them in the shoulder, in the chest, that person has so little health now that you can basically just breathe on them and they're dead. So talk about forgiving. You know, it's not just the aim assist, it's also the body shot damage. And if you look at, you know, like, say, the very lowest impact, they can still two-shot with body shots, but only just barely, and not against max armor guardians, which I think is fine. I think, you know, those are basically really high-damage scout rifles. I think that's a fine place for them to be. And clearly, they aren't being abused right now the way that Praetor's Revenge was once abused, when it could have 6 rounds in the mag, and you could just sit there all day long two-shotting people without having to aim at all. But I think one thing that could be looked at is the damage scaling. Maybe penalizing body shots on high-impact snipers to a greater degree than you do on low-impact snipers, increasing the percentage of damage that is lost when you only hit a body shot, so that, you know, not any... you know, quick draw, low impact weapon can be pulled out. You can't just whip out a Mida and one shot somebody. You can't just whip out the Last Word and one shot somebody at range. Thoughts? You guys both snipe a little bit more than I do. That's just something I've been talking about with people on Reddit, something I've been thinking about myself.
Personally, I think the inventory size is a pretty decent fix. I know that a lot of the time I will forego running a maximum impact sniper when I'm running my universal remote build on a Titan. I'll switch instead to the Defiance of Yasmin. I can spawn with 12 rounds in the Defiance of Yasmin. My longbow, as much as I absolutely adore my longbow, spawning with 6 rounds hurts. Picking up 3 rounds if I don't have 2 sniper ammo armor pieces hurts. It's very discouraging when I want to go into a match and be able to consistently use my sniper rifle, but I don't have the ability to pull ammo when I need it. The Defiance, I have 16 rounds, I can get up to 19. The longbow, I start with 6. If I'm not careful, I'll have 0, and I'll have to wait 2 minutes before I can get any more ammo. It's a very real factor in how you use a weapon.
Yeah, I like inventory. It wasn't my idea. It was someone on Reddit's idea, but it was something that I agreed with, so I'm preaching it here. I like inventory. I like aim assist, nerfs, things that don't change the way high skill players use the guns, but they do change the way people look at the guns, how easy they are to use. I don't necessarily agree with changing the body shot multipliers right now because I don't think it's necessary. Because I think what you'll see happen is if they give a buff to primaries, let's say we go super simple, just my ideas. High impact weapons do more flinch. Hand cannons lose their accuracy balloon. All right, we're not even dealing with the damage fallout stuff, which I think should be addressed. Just those two things right there. Then inventory numbers are changed and aim assist numbers are changed. I don't think you need to mess with anything else. I think things would fall into place very well on their own, even without increasing damage to any primaries. I think you would see high impact sniper usage would drop pretty significantly, and high impact snipers are already punished for hitting body shots because the follow up shot is so much slower than it is with an extra solar or something like that. But I don't think you really need to make it worse by dropping down the amount of body shot damage they do, because that's part of the reason why they're good. That's part of the reason why they're used, is the ability to switch to a hand cannon and finish someone off. If you take that away from them, it's just I don't know if I'd be in agreement with taking that away from them. But I think baby steps first, make a couple of changes, see what happens, as opposed to going balls to the wall, decimating a weapon class, and then being like, oops, and then 6 months later maybe fixing it.
Fair.
You know? I just much rather see some baby steps. And I mean, what else is there? Heavy. I think heavy is basically as balanced as it's been right now. I'm not raging at heavy nearly as much as I was. I was watching an old gameplay of myself where you killed heavy and then picked up the heavy. Like, you killed someone who had their rockets and you picked it up. And I was watching myself have 7 truth rockets in PvP on Bastion. And I was like, oh my God. I got 15 kills with truth in that game. And it was just because heavy ammo popped up every 3 minutes. You kill someone else with heavy ammo. Oh, look, you've got 6 rockets again. You know, and we've come a long, long way from where heavy was. I think heavy's in a good spot. It's really difficult to get a ton of rockets now. Most of them are doing 2 or 3. You know, you're not getting massive amounts of machine gun ammo, maybe a magazine and a few extra. I think heavy's in a really good spot for right now. Games aren't swinging wildly based off one team getting, you know, heavy and killing a couple of other people. I think overall heavy is pretty balanced. It's pretty fine where it is. I think specials we just talked about, primaries we talked about. I mean, if they did some of those things, I think I'd be in a happy place. The Crucible is as balanced as it's ever been at this point in time. It might not be the best. It's a slow meta, but it is, you know, you can use a scout rifle, a pulse rifle, a hand cannon and be competitive. You can use a shotgun or a sniper rifle or even a fusion rifle if you're really good and be competitive. You know, even sidearms, if you're running with like a No Land Beyond or a scout rifle or something like that, or, you know, you can use what you want right now. And I think we're in a good place, but I just see that it could be a little bit better. You know, that's why I'm advocating baby steps. Let's not go take the Nerf hammer or something and just absolutely decimate it, because nothing needs to be decimated right now. Things just need tiny little tweaks. Tiny little tweaks, and I think we'll be good to go.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that. Just, we have the best meta we've seen from Destiny, period. I don't want to see that get absolutely wrecked because someone decided, I like this idea of de-scoping snipers. It's too balanced right now compared to where it's been in the past. It's still a far cry from an ideally balanced player versus player game. It's nowhere near that. But compared to where Destiny was at right after it dropped, this is great. We're in a happy place. So instead of making drastic changes that run the risk of setting back all the progress that was made, this is the time to make small, light changes to try buffing things instead of nerfing them, to just to work towards that balance. It won't come quickly. There are going to be hangups along the way. But the best that can be done now at this point is to make sure that the hangups aren't monumental.
Much rather leave things the way they are now than totally just screw something up and destroy it, you know? Tiny change, see how it goes. Tiny change, see how it goes. You make a huge change, you screw something up, we end up with a class of weapon being useless for another 6 months. We don't want that.
Yeah, you know? I'm on board with that for sure.
But I'm excited to see the balance patch, obviously. I really look forward to whatever they come up with. I mean, they've shown recently that they've been paying attention and they've done a relatively good job as far as it's gone. Stuff isn't as questionable as some of their previous decisions, like way back, but I'm excited for it.
With the amount of focus that's being given to the player versus player community, I really am excited to see what this balance patch drops. I hope to see every class of weapon, every archetype become viable. You know, barring that, I'm not going to be upset if one or two of the least used things is now capable of being brought into Crucible. If I can take a high impact hand cannon, or I can take a high impact auto rifle, you know, a high impact pulse rifle, you know, if I can get one or two of those, I'll be happy. Just something new, something fresh.
All right, do we have anything else to talk about balance wise I think we've pretty much covered everything.
One thing I do want to remind people of, we are planning on doing a listener Q&A either next week or the final pre-Rise of Iron recording session. So make sure that you submit questions to us on Twitter, on SoundCloud, on Reddit, wherever your social engagement of preference exists. Find us there and shoot us some questions. That's all I got.
Real quick, on Friday, I can't do it Thursday since in their benevolence and omniscience, Bungie's maintenance will take all the free time I have until my night class, at which point I believe as soon as my night class is started, I would be able to play. So Friday, instead, I will be on Twitch talking about the new patch. I'll talk about what this looks like so far. My Twitch is NKCougar94. Not going to spell it for you. I certainly hope you can do that on your own.
All right. Well, we good to go then?
Yeah.
Believe so.
All right. Signing off till next week, guys. I hope you enjoyed episode 9, and we'll be back hopefully talking about the balance patch changes and how happy we are with all of
them. It's
going to
be a perfect game after this Thursday. Perfect.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Guardians.
Cougar out.